Joining us to talk about that, if you're on hold, stay there. A phone call is coming up a little bit later on. Joining us to talk about that is the VP of NFL Broadcast Planning. He has spent more than 20 years in the broadcast department. He knows exactly what it goes into this. We are joined by Mike North. Mike, it is good to have you back on. How are you?
Hey, Jim, always good to talk to you.
You too, Mike. So the schedule is out, but before we get into the mechanics and the thought process behind this year's schedule, I'm curious, how does it feel to you to have this out in the world? Can you put your feet up, relax, kind of bask in the glow? What's it feel like the day after?
Can't relax just yet. You know, we gave the schedules to the teams on Wednesday, and we gave the schedules to the networks on Thursday, but they only saw their own. And so as you get into Thursday, Friday, and through the weekend, then they see everybody else's. And sometimes the team might look at their schedule on Wednesday and say, "Ah, all right, we caught the short straw, but it's not that bad. We'll be fine." And then they see everybody else's, and they're like, "Wait a minute, now ours looks even worse." Or same thing on the network partners. You know, CBS might get their schedule and look at it and say, "Hey, this looks pretty good." And then once they see the ESPN and the Amazon schedule, they say, "Hey, wait a minute. We would have loved to have those games too." So there's a couple of days here where I don't want to say we're holding our breath, but we're prepared for, you know, everybody's honest reaction. And as it shifts from, you know, the emotional initial reaction to the, you know, "Hey, we've had a chance to digest it. We've had a chance to look at it. Here's some, you know, hopefully constructive criticism." We take it all under advisement. You put it in the file and you just keep trying to do better next year.
Mike North is joining us. So Mike, does anybody say to you, "Man, you guys crushed it. What an awesome job. We have no issue with it at all. You did a great, great job." How often do you hear that?
Very, very rarely, Jim. Very rarely. Look, no schedule is perfect. We know that. Every schedule's got some warts on it. What we like to say is everybody got something, nobody got everything, right? There's some really big games that everybody wants to see. If Kansas City, Tampa's on NBC, well, then it's not on Fox or CBS, and they're going to be a little disappointed. If, you know, Team X got a three-game road trip and a division opponent didn't, then they're going to be a little disappointed. But, you know, knowing all the hoops that we have to go through and talking to people like you and kind of being honest about this and being a little more transparent about the process, I think people understand that, you know, there's no conspiracy theorists here. There's no setting out to, you know, do anybody dirty. This is really just about trying to make a balance between, you know, fan friendliness, getting the biggest games into the biggest television windows, and kind of managing the team pain. Everybody's got a little something that they feel is a competitive challenge, but, you know, good teams overcome challenges and bad teams blame anything they can, and including the schedule maker.
There you go. I like it. Mike North is the VP of NFL Broadcast Planning. Yeah, I don't think that computers necessarily account for conspiracy theories. The story goes that you had 4,000 computers working on the schedule and you ran 119,153 different schedules. So then what is the process for evaluating each schedule? And what was it about schedule number 119,011 that made it stand out from all the rest?
Yeah, look, the computers are brilliant, but they're also kind of stupid, right? They just do what you tell them, and they don't know what we're thinking, what our heart is telling us, what Howard Katz, who runs the scheduling process, what, you know, the vision he has in his mind. So we're just trying to interact with the computers and tell them all the time, here's what we're looking for. I think I said this to you last year. We kind of liken this to looking for the best grain of sand on a beach. You know it's impossible. You're never going to find it. You're just trying to get close. And the best thing you could do is get a bunch of your buddies and spread out across the beach and everybody get a walkie-talkie and let's all talk to each other. Here's what the best grain of sand looks like. This size, this shape, this weight, this color. Everybody start digging. And if you're getting close on your sector of the beach and I'm not getting close, maybe I leave my sector of the beach and I come over with you and I start looking where you are, because something about the sand and the wind and the jellyfish is, you know, making the grains of sand on that part of the beach a little closer to what we're looking for. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brady retires. All right, well, the definition of the best grain of sand just changed. Everybody back to step one and start digging again. Wait, Tom changed his mind. He's back. Definition of the grain of sand changed again. Russell Wilson changes teams. Matt Ryan changes teams. Tyreek Hill changes teams. Every day, the definition of the best grain of sand changes, and we're just trying to find options. So I feel like our job as, you know, the button pushers with the software is to just put as many contender schedules as we can. I can't say Howard Katz looked at all 119,000, but he looked at almost all of them. And we just keep putting schedules in front of him and say, here's what's good about this one, here's what's bad about that one. Are we better than we were yesterday? And the way Howard likes to work is he's got a leader in the clubhouse hanging on the wall at all times. Commissioner comes downstairs, bangs on the door and says, give me the best one you got. We've always got one. So that one's hanging on the wall, and we'll spend tonight trying to beat it. Whatever the worst thing about the leader is, we'll go try to beat it. Come in tomorrow, here's some contenders. They all fixed what was broken on the leader. What did they break in order to do that? Is this schedule better? If it is, new leader in the clubhouse. If it's not, leader survives. If the leader survives for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, you know you're getting close, you know you're converging on optimal, and you know Howard's kind of told us what to tell the computers about what he's looking for.
I like that energy. Mike North is joining us. So very clearly, you guys are paying attention to what's going on around the league and some of the speculation, some of the rumors. We're talking, Mike, about some really big names that were moving or maybe not moving. Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Deebo Samuel. You talked about Tom Brady. So clearly, you're paying attention to these things. What about the Super Bowl champs hosting the season opener on Thursday night? What was the thinking behind matching up the Rams and the Bills?
We had a lot of good options this year for kickoff. Just look at the Rams' home schedule. The Bills makes for a great matchup. Dallas, you can never go wrong with deploying Dallas in the kickoff window. We did it last year down in Tampa. San Fran could have come into L.A. They played three really good games last year. No problem coming back with the NFC Championship game rematch. The Raiders coming to L.A., you know they still have a lot of fans down there. That's going to be a crazy scene whenever we would have played it. And, of course, Denver. Even before Russell Wilson went to Denver, you know, the Broncos at the Rams would have been a decent kickoff game. So because we have all these computers, you know, maybe not 4,000 every night, only at our peak, but we got lots of hardware at our disposal. And so you can section them off and you can say, hey, these computers, go look at Denver Rams for kickoff. These computers, go look at Buffalo Rams for kickoff. These computers, Dallas Rams. These computers, Niners Rams. Go. And then they all come back and they all say, well, because you gave me that one for kickoff, here's what the rest of the NBC schedule looks like. Here's what the rest of the CBS and Fox schedule looks like. If you like the balance across all your partners and you're happy with it and the right mix of three-game road trips and road after road Mondays, then you know there's some good stuff down that path. And if there's good stuff down every path, well, then you can pick the winner, the one that feels right to you. We sort of narrowed our own selections as we went through it. Once we thought about Denver Rams for Christmas, then obviously Denver wasn't going to be on kickoff. And look, Buffalo Rams just sounds like a good football game. I know a lot of people are already calling it, you know, a potential Super Bowl preview. So wouldn't there be some, you know, agreeable symmetry if the first and last game of the season, you know, were both Bills Rams?
We are talking to Mike North. He is the VP of NFL Broadcast Planning. He has spent more than 20 years in the broadcast department. I mean, just to finish that thought, Mike, the Bills have five primetime games across four networks. What does that say then about Josh Allen's star power and the potential of this Bills team?
It says exactly what you just said. He's a superstar. I mean, we cannot get enough Josh Allen on television. At some point, hopefully not anytime soon, but at some point, you know, Tom Brady's probably going to retire. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to retire. We're really fortunate to have a lot of these really young, exciting quarterbacks in our league right now. And as they've earned that additional national exposure, you know, we're going to keep putting them out there. And our fans are going to tell us if they care. If we keep putting the Bills in national windows, and the ratings aren't what we had all hoped they were going to be, I don't know if we're going to keep putting the Bills in those national windows, but we continue to roll the Bills out into these big games. They've been on Thanksgiving. They're on again this year. They were in Dallas a couple of years ago, in New Orleans 2 years ago, I think. So we keep putting the Bills in national windows. They keep performing. And obviously, when you're coming off that Buffalo-KC divisional game from last January, I think all of us can't wait to see that guy back on the football field again. So thankfully, we don't have to wait really long. He's in that very first game.
I agree, Mike. I mean, we do want to see that guy in that team, and I totally understand that. But you know what's really intriguing? And I'm not saying surprising, but really intriguing. The Bengals, they're one of the teams with five primetime games this year. It's been a minute or two since they've had that kind of national exposure. But given their run of the Super Bowl last year and the fact that they have one of those kinds of quarterbacks that you're talking about, does it feel like this is the start of a string of seasons with Cincinnati as a primetime fixture?
Certainly hope so. I mean, look, Burrow was fantastic. I think Ja'Marr Chase is incredibly fun to watch. I think that, you know, we're hoping that Cincinnati and Buffalo and Cleveland and Indianapolis and Kansas City and the Chargers and the Miami Dolphins and all these AFC teams that, you know, your words, not mine, maybe haven't always been, you know, front and center in national television in recent years. I'm really hoping that these next, you know, 8-10 years in the AFC is just going to be every game with playoff implications, young star quarterbacks, you know, getting more footing, getting more exposure to our fans. You know, like we said, when Josh Allen first came out, out, you know, the jury was a little out on him, and people weren't really sure. When Lamar Jackson took over in Baltimore, it was like, oh, you can't win that way. You know, when Mahomes came out, they weren't 100% sure, but holy cow, all those guys can play. All these games matter. And, yeah, we should expect a heavy dose of all these AFC teams and all these good young star quarterbacks on prime time, you know, not just this year, but hopefully for the foreseeable future.
Mike North is my guest. So, Mike, I got to ask, I mentioned you've done this now 20 years. When you look at how the process plays out right now, and then you compare it to what it was like when you first started, is there any part of you, and the world changes, of course, everything does, but is there any part of you that wonders, how in the world were we able to do this back in the day without use of all this technology?
Yeah, I mean, look, the league got a schedule done. Val Pinchbeck was sitting there with a big bag of pistachio nuts and a bunch of hang tags, and we would literally go one game at a time. Did we get a schedule done? Did the league stay in business? Did the world keep spinning? Of course. But, you know, those schedules obviously pale in comparison to all the things that we're trying to consider now. We didn't have Thursday night games. We didn't have international games. You know, not long ago, we didn't even have Sunday night games or Monday night games. So it was a very different animal back then. We really couldn't do it without the hardware and the software that we have able, you know, to deploy and help us solve this problem now. But it certainly never gets any easier. You know, we've got a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of broadcast partners, a lot of new windows where we're trying to roll out some games and get some of these games that, like we said, they all used to be Sunday at 1 o'clock. Well, then that means you can't watch them all, you know? You're only watching what's on television in your market. Here's an opportunity to take a game and put it, you know, on a Sunday night, on a Monday night, on a Thursday night, on Thanksgiving, on Christmas, on New Year's, in London, in Germany, trying to figure out how best to use each of these 272 assets. You know, they're not my assets. They're the fans' assets, and they'll tell us what they care about, and we're not doing our job if we're utilizing those assets in the smartest way and letting our fans watch the biggest games.
See, this is, you nailed this. This is why it's so important for you and I to have this conversation every single year so the fans get an idea of what goes on and what the process involves. My final question then, I know it's data-driven, of course, but how much of this is science at this point, and how much of it is still art?
Yeah, we're kind of shifting, you know, that line right now. I think for a really, really long time, it was mostly art, mostly gut, mostly feel, mostly experience. Unbelievably lucky to have a guy like Howard Katz in the room kind of leading the process. He took over from Denny Lewin, who took over from Glenn Adamo, who took over, you know, from Val Pinchbeck. We've had an unbelievable run of really, really good guys kind of leading that process. Most of those guys probably aren't sitting down on the keyboard and, you know, writing code. So we're trying to integrate some of the math and science and some of what we can do with some predictive analytics. You know, every time our fans interact with our game, they're telling us what they care about. You know, every time they call into your show, they tell you what teams and what players they care about. Every time they add a guy to their fantasy roster, every time they click on a link on NFL.com or buy a hat or a jersey or place a bet in a state where, you know, legalized sports betting is available, every time they interact with us, they're telling us what they care about. They're telling us who's important to them. We're trying to listen to that. We're trying to take all that data and sort of feed it in so that, you know, when Howard Katz's gut and feel tells him one thing, hopefully the data supports it. And if it doesn't, Howard's been real good about being open-minded to trying to solve this puzzle a different way.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Mike. I think I told you this last year at this time, but Howard Katz was, when I got my first TV opportunity at ESPN2 in 1993, Howard Katz was my boss's boss's boss. So, yes, I know this name very, very well. Mike North is the VP of NFL Broadcast Planning, more than 20 years in the broadcast department, and I guarantee, have you not heard that conversation before, you had no idea that went into making that schedule. Now you've got a much better idea. Mike, I really appreciate the conversation. Why don't we go ahead and set the date right now, a year from today, so we can do this again a year from today, if you don't mind.
Lock me in, man. I'm looking forward to it.
My man, me too. Great job, Mike. Appreciate you, and I appreciate that conversation. I appreciate that conversation for a lot of reasons, because you're into it, and you want to know who your team is going to play when and where. And I'm saying that I'm not that guy that hit refresh all day long yesterday, and I didn't get hyped and take my shirt off, but I am into the process and how they go about doing it. And Mike North had a great explanation and description for their process. And of course, I do like his energy. If I say in the middle of a conversation, I like that energy, you know I like that energy. I'm more about energy now than I've ever been in my life. I like people who have good energy. And when I say good energy, I don't just mean they have good energy. I mean positive energy. righteous energy, energy that's making everything in the immediate radius around them better. Energy, it's a big word. It's not just energy, if you know what I mean. Energy encompasses a lot of things. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to be around as many people who have good energy as I possibly can. That guy did right there, especially for his process.